Welcome to the Graceway Weekly Message Podcast. At Graceway, our mission is to bring the future kingdom into the present, and we hope this message encourages you to know and enjoy God, find friends, discover your purpose, and make a difference in your community. Enjoy today's message.
Any dog lovers out there? Cat lovers? I'm praying for you. Well, many years ago, I had a dog named Bear. And Bear was the best dog you can have if you're broke like we were, because he was free. So we got a free dog. He was supposed to be a family dog, but Bear was a little loco. And he only liked me, and he was kind of mean. So my wife at one point was like, hey, you know, we're supposed to have this family dog. He doesn't even like the kids. He growls at everybody. Let's get a dog. I go, okay, what do you want to get? And she's like, I want to get a Cocker Spaniel. Well, there's no free Cocker Spaniels. At least there weren't at that time. So I'm like, okay, we'll get you this Cocker Spaniel. It'll be your dog. It'll be the family dog. And we drive hours away to get this dog. And she picks out the smallest dog in the litter. She was so cute, party-colored, black and white Cocker Spaniel, female. And we bring her home, and she's kind of like my wife's dog and the family dog. And that goes on for a couple months. And then one day, Bear Dog, I told you he's a little off, decided to attack Pepper. Yeah. So she just screeches and yelps and takes off running, and then Bear's in hot pursuit after her. And she runs into my son's bedroom, and under the bed, this low bed, they had bunk beds, all the way back into the corner. And so I run after them and I grab Bear and I pull him out of there and get rid of him. And I could only crawl so far underneath the bed, and I'm reaching to her. She's still crying and yelping in the corner. Come on, come on. And at one point, she just crawls into my arms. Well, at that point, my wife no longer had a dog. She was my dog. And this dog, because I saved her, was so loyal, in fact, and bold. I couldn't walk across the street and leave her home, because if I walked across the street and I'm talking to one of the neighbors and one of my kids opens the door, she would bolt and just eyes locked on me, running across through traffic, just boldly, not worrying about the traffic. So I had to like take her just in case she didn't get run over. At one point, I was studying for a promotional test, so I had to study for hours. And we had six kids, so if you got six kids, there's no quiet place to study. So I studied in the middle of our backyard in August. And this dog would sit with me in the sun and pant. And I would try to get her to go back into the air, but she wouldn't. She would just sit there and suffer just to be with me. And if I took 10 steps this way, that dog moved. When I cut the grass, she followed me in lines. The loyalty was just amazing. And one day I was standing in the hallway near our bathroom, and I would look down when I moved so I didn't step on her, and she wasn't there. So I knew something was wrong, and I looked, and at the end of the hallway, she was crawling, dragging her legs, trying to get to me. Well, she had a heart defect, and she was dying. And I picked her up into my arms, and that was the last time I held her. But I want you to notice, I saved her, at least in her mind. And the boldness she had for me, the faithfulness she had to me. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to go to Acts 4, 1 through 31. And I want you to look at this text and be asking why Peter and John are so faithful. Why are they so bold? And as I read this text, I want you to think, how can we be faithful and bold? And to give you a little background, right, we're in the book of Acts, unstoppable. We're seeing the church doing amazing things. Pentecost, Peter preaches. Thousands of people are saved. Peter and John go to the portico. Pastor Tim preached the message. They're standing in this public area, and they heal a man who was lame from birth in amongst the crowds. And now they're standing. Our text picks up. They're in this portico or this covered area with pillars outside the temple that is just filled with people. It was a public gathering. So when you go to the portico, there's going to be people everywhere, and they know this. And that's where our text picks up. But before I read the text. Let me pray one more time. Father, as we go to your holy word, the book of Acts, that shows us really the blueprints of your church, God, and the faithfulness of these people that we're reading today is because why we stand here. They've preached Jesus, and his name's been proclaimed for thousands of years, and here we stand. Father, we want people to come to Christ. We want it to be hard to go to hell in Kansas City, and we need boldness and faithfulness in this house, Lord. So I pray that you would silence me in this sermon so that you may speak. Spirit, reach hearts, change minds, change lives. By the same power that existed 2,000 years ago, it exists today. Father, that we would step out of these doors today changed, emboldened, faithful. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to read 1 through 21, and then I promise to read the last verses at the end of the sermon, but we're going to stop there. So Acts 4, 1 through 31, and it's Peter and John in the portico. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them, put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and a number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, don't miss this, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. Don't miss this. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. When they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But in order that it may not spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. What an amazing narrative of boldness. What's Luke telling us in this text? He's describing Peter and John as having Holy Spirit-filled boldness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we need to be a people with spirit-filled boldness in our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is this boldness that they had, and how do we get it? And I'm going to go through this text, and I'm going to give you three characteristics of spirit-filled boldness. And then I'm going to give you a fourth. The three describe what boldness really is, but the fourth one is the source of those characteristics. So the first characteristic, Spirit-filled boldness in our Lord Jesus Christ is truthful. Truthful. So the text says that the captain of the temple and the priests and Sadducees come upon Peter and John. Now let me help you understand who the captain of the temple is. That's the captain of the temple police. So Peter and John are surrounded by the police, the captain, and the religious leaders. Here's something you need to know about all these folks. The captain of the temple, his primary job is to keep the peace with Rome, especially against any claims of a Messiah, because those tend to be highly disruptive to the peace. And the priests and Sadducees are the materialistic sect of the Jews. And they're the big compromisers. They deny the resurrection, and all they really want to do is keep their good thing going by compromising the faith and staying tight with Rome. And the last thing they want is somebody talking about a Messiah. So Peter and John realize what they're saying is going to bring the heat. So the text says in verse 2, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, I want you to understand, Peter and John, before they show up, they know the heat is about to be on. This would be like me, you guys know I'm from Cleveland, right? Buying the cheapest ticket in the Kansas City Stadium when they play Cleveland. If in fact they play Cleveland, I don't even know. But so I put on all my Cleveland gear, buy the cheapest seat, show up at the stadium, walk all the way down onto the field with a chair, jump the wall, sit down on the field next to Kansas City in my Cleveland gear, and begin to root for the Browns. If I did that, it would be highly offensive, and I could expect the heat. I could even expect that, Dan, you're probably going to jail. So what happens? Peter and John are arrested. No surprise to them. And then they're brought before the Jewish Supreme Court, essentially. This is the religious leaders. This is the highest court among the Jews. And they're standing before them to be grilled for why they healed this man. Look at the text, verse 7. So they asked them, by what power or by what name did you do this? Because they were the power. And it was in their name that things were supposed to be done. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders. He's respectful. If we were being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel. In other words, on the field, let the Kansas City Chiefs know, let the coach know, let the owner know, and let everybody in this stadium know. Boldness. What, Peter and John? Let it be known to all that Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you. The Messiah you feared, the one you killed, it's his power that did this. Wow. Can you imagine how that landed to them? See, they're afraid of the Messiah, that he'll disrupt the peace, and they just said, he's alive, and he did this. Not only that, verse 11, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you. See, you guys were supposed to point us to him, but you didn't. And he's become the cornerstone. Everything that's in your Old Testament was pointing to him, and you missed it. And all your laws and all the things you've added to them and all your legalism can't accomplish anything because there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So he's saying, you failed as religious leaders too. And then Peter steps back and he drops the mic. Wow. What boldness. It reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. When they're told to worship Nebuchadnezzar and the idols, and they just refuse. And they just won't do it. And look, they get that there might be real consequences. So they say, look, O king, God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, even if we have to go into the furnace, we will not bow down. And Peter and John standing there, no, we might get killed. In fact, they killed Jesus. But we won't bow down. So I want you to understand something in this truthfulness that they're preaching. I guarantee you they were afraid. I guarantee you Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were shaking in their boots because they're human beings. And we can be afraid because there is no boldness, there is no courage without fear. But when they stand there in that fear, they had boldness. They had boldness because it came from the Holy Spirit, not from them. So if you're here today and you're afraid to share your faith in certain places, what's that look like? I call it the punch out. We clock out. Punch out. When I go to work, there's not a lot of Christians there, and they make fun of me, so I just punch out from Christianity while I'm at work. And if asked about the truth of who he is, I'll shy away. When I get around my friends from the world who I really want to see saved for Christ, who just make fun of the church and don't understand, I just clock out and I don't talk about them. I don't want to answer questions about them. When I get around my family who knows how messed up I used to be, they're never going to believe what I have to say, so I just punch out. Church, we can't clock out. Can't punch out. You can be afraid. In fact, you should be. All of us are afraid. Peter and John were afraid. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were afraid. But when asked, they spoke out boldly about the truth. Jesus is Lord, crucified, buried, risen, ascended, and coming again. We can never compromise that truth even when we're scared. We must be truthful. We must be a people with spirit-filled boldness in our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only must we be truthful, spirit-filled boldness in the Lord Jesus Christ is tangible. What do I mean by that? Look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were uneducated common men. So you understand, Peter and John didn't roll up to the portico in a Benz, hop out in three-piece suits, and hit everybody with the business cards. Peter and John Esquire, bam. They were nobodies. They weren't impressive. They were just common men. And the religious leaders are seeing this tangible boldness of faith in them, and they're saying, how can this be? Because look what the verse says. They were astonished. Astonished. Why were they astonished? Look what the text says. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Can the people around us see that we've been with Jesus? Moses wanted to see God so bad. He said, I want to see you, Lord. And God tells him, you can't see me or you will die. And we know that Jesus is the full revelation of the Father of God. To see Jesus is to see God. And the same truth holds today. You cannot see Jesus and live. Because if you see the Jesus who went to the cross for you, then you die and you're born again. And the old man doesn't come back. And we can all say, Dan is dead. Jesus Christ lives here now. If you've seen Jesus through the eyes of faith, the old life is dead. The shame, the guilt, dead. So if that's true, and it absolutely is true, then people must be able to see the Jesus in us. They have to see it. Look at verse 14. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. It was the fruit of their life, the fruit of their ministry. What can they say? What can people say when they see the Jesus in you? It silences the opposition. It silences the naysayers. You see, people may be able to deny the Jesus who they can't see, but they can never deny the Jesus they see in you. Your testimony. And what's that look like? The fruit of our ministry, the fruit of our lives that silences people, like it silenced the religious leaders. But let me tell you what some examples. When you forgive the person who hurts you deeply, and the world would tell you, you have the right to be angry, but you forgive them anyways. People see the Jesus in you. When you bless those who curse you and talk about you, they see the Jesus in you. When you're in the midst of a tragedy and people like Job's wife would say, you should curse God and die, and you say, you just don't know how good he is, they see the Jesus in you. When you're walking through a trial and you have joy, they see the tangible faith that is Jesus in you. Spirit-filled boldness in our Lord Jesus Christ is tangible. You can see it in our lives. Thirdly, Spirit-filled boldness in our Lord Jesus Christ is tenacious. So Peter and John, they get locked up. The council sets them to the side. And now they're like, what are we going to do with these guys? They're so bold. I think these guys are legit. I think they're too legit. They might be too legit to quit. What the heck are we going to do with these guys? Well, can't deny this guy. He's crippled. Now. What are we going to do? I know. We'll warn him not to preach Jesus. That should work. Just bring him back in. Hey, guys, no more of the Jesus thing. It's over. We're going to let you go, but you keep quiet. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. By the way, fellas, you're expert in the Old Testament. You know we can't do that. Don't miss verse 20. For we cannot, not will not, cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Cannot. What do you mean they cannot? What are they trying to say? This reminds me so much of Jeremiah 20. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible where Jeremiah has been beat up for telling the truth, locked up in shackles for telling the truth. Everybody hates him for telling the truth, and he's suffering because of it, and he's like, God, this is rough, man. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I don't know if I want to tell them what you say. Don't we get there? I don't know if I want to tell them. There's consequence. I don't know. And what does Jeremiah say? But if I say I won't mention him or speak anymore in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot. The fire of the gospel, ignited by the Holy Spirit, can't be silenced in those who love Jesus. We have to speak up, even with consequences. And that's what Peter and John are talking about. I can't do that. So we may struggle, face consequences for faithfulness, but we don't fall back. Church, don't fall back. Be tenacious. We cannot stop the burning fire of the Holy Spirit in us. So we must be a people with Spirit-filled boldness in our Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, Spirit-filled boldness is truthful, it's tangible, and it's tenacious. It's tenacious. We never fall back. We trust in him. Now those three attributes, truthful, tangible, tenacious, that's what boldness is. And I want to explain to you where they come from. Where they come from. Why were Peter and John truthful, tangible, tenacious? Where did this come from? Because spirit-filled boldness in our Lord Jesus Christ is trepid or fearful. Wait a minute, fearful? What do you mean fearful? Look back to the text. Watch what they do. I'll explain. Verse 23, when they were released, they went to their friends, reported that the chief priests and elders had said to them and what they had heard. In other words, we got locked up. It looked like it was going bad. So the church lifted their voices together to God and said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, oh, sovereign Lord, who's in control of everything and everything's under your feet. You created this world." I'm going to quote Psalms 2. "They've been coming against you since the beginning, but you've always overcome." And by the way, didn't Herod, who was the king, and Pontius Pilate, who was the authority of Rome, try to come against you? Yet they were just pawns in your game. In fact, through them and their wickedness, the greatest event in human history took place. Christ was crucified and sins were atoned for. They're reminding themselves of who God is and that everything is under his hand and power. Why? Because they felt fear. And what are they steadying themselves in? Don't miss this. They're trepid. They're steadying themselves in the fear of God. Because when you fear God, you need not fear men or circumstances. So after they remind themselves of who God is, then they say this: "Look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." Yeah, they're threatening, there may be consequences, but you're in control, Lord. Give me the boldness that comes from understanding that. "While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." They didn't fear men because they feared God. They were trepid, God-fearing, which is the source of all boldness. And because they feared God, they could be truthful. Their faith was tangible. They were tenacious. We must be trepid or fearful of God if we want to be truthful, because you will feel the fear. We must be trepid or fearful of God if we want our faith to be tangible. We must be trepid if we want to be tenacious. What would it look like in this local body if we were trepid? If we feared God, what would we do? Same thing they did. We would get on our knees and we would say, with trembling hands, "Oh, sovereign Lord, that doctor's report is under your authority. It's in your hands. My wayward children and all their nonsense are in your hands and under your authority. My broken marriage is in your hands and under your authority. That addiction that I walked in with is in your hands and under your authority. My boss at work is under your authority. Every king who's ever sat on a throne and every president who's ever been in the White House is under his authority. All our lives and every circumstance are under his authority." So we fear him, and in fear of him comes on a boldness. And what does God do if we do that? Look at verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with holiness." God shook the earth that they stood on. And they were bold. Surely God can shake that circumstance that's making you afraid today. He can shake that doctor's report. He can shake that fear. He can shake that situation. And he can give you boldness in him, because we need not fear men nor situations, because we have a God that's on the throne. So what do we do with this? What should you do? Stay on your knees daily. Because let me tell you something. The reason Peter and John stepped into the portico with boldness in the truth, with boldness in their faith, with tenacity, is because every day they were on their knees before the Lord. You will not be bold if you're not on your knees. You will fall back when it's time to tell the truth. They won't see the Jesus in you. There won't be tenacity unless you fear God and you're on your knees daily. And then we will be bold. Maybe you're here and you're tired of being afraid, afraid of circumstances, afraid of the reports, afraid of the next turn in life. Fear God. Remind yourself who He is and let Him take that fear from you. Maybe you're here today and you go, you know, I've never surrendered to Jesus Christ. I've never given Him my life. And I don't understand how some Christians can have joy in difficulty, how they can be bold when there's consequences. And I'm tired of being afraid and I'm tired of being angry. Let me tell you what you can do. Just like I reached my hands out to save Pepper and she crawled to me, Jesus is here today reaching His hands out to you. And if you come to Him, all the fear can be gone. All the anger can be gone. Because Jesus went to the cross for your fear, for your shame. He died for your sins. And if you come to Him, you'll experience salvation because He rose from the dead and defeated your past.